Good morning, brothers and sisters. So happy to see many of you. This is a cold morning, and I will be able to see so many of you, particularly young people here. That means you are able to overcome the difficulties of staying in the warm bed and then come over here. This is a wonderful sunny morning, and we've just enjoy that praying together and seeing the video that we have the short-term mission trips, Janice in there, going over there to have that experience. But how about us? Today, the title of the sermon is about mere labor mission. As a mission, not necessary to go overseas, but where just very close to us in life or in anywhere we unexpected the labor that God has put in our life path could be there. And for us, we are being a witness, a live witness. So that, thank you, the reading that Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. This is a very familiar story. I mean, you have heard Good Samaritans for so many times, and in particular that title, Good Samaritans, has been used either as someone doing a good thing or is an organization's name about suicides, about you know that particular term very well, but just referring back to the Bible, you're actually seeing this is more than just about doing good deeds. This is related with a very serious issue, very serious topic. It is about eternal life. So you see, that expert of the law, legal questions about inheriting eternal life. You see, this part of the passage can be divided into two parts, like mirror to each other. So it begins with that expert of the law asked a question to Jesus, and Jesus did not answer. Jesus asked him a question again. And then the lawyer replied, and then Jesus say, "That's right." So that is the first part. And then you see that very similar, looking at the second part. But the lawyer, after Jesus said, "Your answer is right," the lawyer did not go away. You see, that came to the second part that you're very familiar with. So don't forget there is a first part about eternal life. So the second part, the lawyer wanted to justify himself and then stay back and ask, "Who is my neighbor?" Then that is where Jesus tell him that parable. That is where the context is. Instead of giving you the answer, Jesus tell him a story. And then after that, Jesus asked him again. So you see that that is just similar to the first part. Questions follow another question. Then there is the answer by that lawyer. And then finally, Jesus command him to do like the Samaritan. So now we are able to see the structure of this whole passage divided into two parts. Now let's look back at the whole context. That expert in the law stood up is to test Jesus. So ask him that important question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Like all of us, we are here to worship Jesus, worship God. It's about that eternal life, because we have put our faith, we trust in Jesus. Jesus has died for us. But that is talking about the time that Jesus, he has come to the earth, and all these experts of the law, they're very familiar with the Old Testament. So he's talking about eternal life. What particular is that expert is talking about? That eternal life, that particular passage, comes from Daniel. Chapter 12, verse 2. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life, and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. So the expert of the law want to test Jesus. Am I going to in the queue for that eternal life? Am I? And Jesus answer. Jesus has really give a very good hint. He said, what is written in the law? When he say this, because there are some other laws that they are oral laws, and there's so many oral laws. Like, for example, if you remember those Jesus disciples, they came to the wheat, all those fields, and then get some of the wheat and then start to eat. That is the oral law, because they are forbidden to do those on the Sabbath. So those are oral, not written. So here Jesus said, what's written in the law? And how do you read it? So it must be somewhat coming from that written one. And that expert answer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second part, love your neighbor as yourself. So he answered two parts. One is that love the Lord your God with heart, soul, strength, mind, and also love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. When Jesus said he answered correctly, he really mean it, answer correctly. That means when you take an exam, 100 mark is really 100 mark. Because as you know, later on when Jesus were being asked the same question, he gave the same answer to the high priest. Give the same answer later on in the final week in Jerusalem. So Jesus gave the same answer as this one of the expert of the law. And finally Jesus said, do this and you will live. So it's not just about knowing. I mean, we all have learned so much. It's not just about, Jesus is telling that expert of the law, you know about how to love the Lord your God. You also know about to love your neighbor like yourself. It's not just about to know. Jesus said, do this and you will live. I want to bring you to this expert of the law's answer to see why he is an expert of the law. In the Old Testament, they're very familiar with all these written laws. There are how many written laws? 613. It's not just about the Ten Commandments that you know. 613. And of course, there are particular four that the Israelites, they know very well. Why? Because remember, God told them to put those Bible verses on your forehead and also in your attire to your arm. So they make a box and carefully put that box just above on their forehead, very carefully, not in the front, not on top of the head, but there is an angle, and very, very carefully do that. And inside that box, there are four passages. Two from Exodus, two from Deuteronomy, and one of the answers that this expert of the law given is one of that in the box. When I say in the box, they have to rehearse that every morning and every evening, every day, imagine. So by the time they were grown up, even as someone 5 years old, 6 years old, of course they can rehearse those four passages easily. If you do that same time, every day, twice a day, you will know. So that is the first part of the answer about love your Lord to God. But how about the second part? Love your neighbor as yourself. It comes from not inside that box, but it comes from the other part, which is from the other written commandment. So where is it? It comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now you see that it's just in one of those 613, but these experts of the law really able to pick them up. So you have to be amazed at this. Jesus do not just say lightly, you're correct. No, he really mean it. At that start of the time, that when he asked the question, he able to give the 100 mark. And in Old Testament, in Leviticus, that particular word, that love your neighbor as yourself. In Hebrew, that word labor is liah. So liah means what? Liah has got very broad meaning. Labor, friend, just a fellow, just a man. It's got a broad meaning. But in here, with this context, it being used in the Old Testament, and you're able to see that, continue to ask, who is your neighbor? It gives very specifically, it's not talking about man, it's not talking about friend, but the meaning is about labor. In related with this, because I can see some of you are from Chinese background, you are able to probably understand this few Chinese word that I put on here. The reason is because of this church is called Chinese and Australian Baptist Church. I come from West Rye. From a young people, you can go back and ask your parents. Ask them, what is the main sort of the broad theme of the commandment? They will tell you this. 爱神爱人. They will say, love God, love man. Why? Because our Chinese Bible from 100 years ago, 1919, has translated that as love God, love man. It didn't translate as love God, love labors. So it's very different. And only until now, 2010, we have the Chinese revised version. And there it has changed. Now it's able to see it is written, love God and love our labors. So for young people, you can do this and at home to really share this message to your parents, that to ask them to see why the difference. The difference is that it's not just about everywhere the man, because everywhere man means human. I'm loving my family. I'm loving the one that they're really close to me. But that is not what the meaning. The meaning is love our labor. And from that onwards, that is where the second part of the question, then he asked about, then who is my labor? Because the expert of law is already thinking that I'm doing that already. Justified, that means I'm very justified, have the righteousness, and Jesus will praise him again. And they want to say, who is my neighbor? And that is the questions that we are talking about. So, the parable. You're very familiar, but I just want to reiterate about Samaritan. Samaritan, are those descendants of a mixed Israelite and Assyrians. Remember 722 BC? All of you know King David. After David is the Solomon. King Solomon built the temple that David has prepared all the material. After King Solomon, that empire divide. The kingdom divide. North and south. North has been captured, destroyed in 722 BC. Not all of these are captured back to Assyria, but some remain. Some Israelites remain. So the Assyrians, they bring some others, capture the peoples, bring to these places. And this place is called Samaria. So they become mixed marriage. And for those who have captured away, and for those later on, as you know, the Jerusalem, the South Kingdom, also later on, after 100-something years, they also being captured and went to Babylon. They really hate those Samaria, those living in there, because they are not pure now. They become unclean. And even later on, after those 70 years of capture, they went back to Jerusalem, trying to build their city, trying to build a wall. These Samaritans tried to stop them. And you could see that they have been all the time enemies. So in here, Jesus used this parable, particularly choose a particular group that they never thought that this group of people are my neighbor. I mean, that is the main reason. Now we become good Samaritans, really never seeing that that is actually a labor that we never thought of. And that was the background. So let's look at what the parables say. So Jesus tells, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Going down. Jerusalem is so top in the mountain. 2,000 meters. Wow, very high. And then Jericho is under the sea level. Wow, from 2,000 to do under 200 feet. Under. When he was attacked by robbers. You see that it's so steep, so that's why the road are winding around the mountain. And they stripped him of his clothes, spit him, and went away and leaving him half dead. A priest, a religious leader, have a very clear, he is going down the same road. That means he has finished his job on that day and going through that same path. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He has done his religious duty up in Jerusalem. He finished his work. He saw this man. And he passed by. So to a Levi. Who is a Levi? Out of the 12 tribes, Levi was the one chosen to help in the temple, to do all the work, to assist the priest, to give sacrifice, to do this holy work for all, for the whole 12 tribes. He came to the same place and saw him, saw this man, half dead, passed by on the other side. The parable carry on, but the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. I think this is one of the very important sentences. When he saw the man, he took pity on him. With that compassion start. It's not just about doing actions, about doing a lot of things, but without that changing heart without that compassion, just like Paul said, if you do all these, even burn yourself without love, it's meaningless. Compassion comforts. When you see Jesus in Matthew 9, he saw the crowds, he had compassion of them because he see them just like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. You're also very familiar with that 5 bread and 2 fishes can feed 5,000 people. But just again, I don't know if we have missed that. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, before he had that miracle, he had compassion on them. That always comes first. That compassion coming from heart is something that about how that parable is important. So with that compassion, with that pity, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Instead of himself sitting on a donkey, he put a man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver, and how much is that silver? 1 day's wage of a laborer. So 2 days' wage gave to the innkeeper, look after him. If it's not enough, when I return, I will pay you back. So a very short parable, but very powerful in a way that choosing that Jewish person with someone that he probably never speak to, never touch, that Samaritan, as someone who actually stop, do not go to the other side and pass by, but actually is kind of the unimagined people who actually came to help him. And Jesus asked the expert of the law, who of these 3 do you think was a labor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Can you see the question twist? The lawyer asked, who is my labor? Let me choose. I, my neighbor, mine. Now, the question now is, who was a labor of that man who need help? An expert in the law, of course, have a very clear understanding in his heart. He said the one who had mercy on him. And again, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go. It's just like, remember that great commission. Go and disciple all nations. Go and do likewise. So I think the parable of the Samaritan, the real issue is not about whom we should serve, but are we ready in our life to really discern what God has put in our life that we are able to serve. Faith accompanied by action. It's just like a coin. You have seen this picture quite many times on the slides already. What you want to illustrate is, if one side is that faith, the book of James have been always talking about, if there is faith, the other side must have the actions and deeds. It is always together, discerned who is our labor, and so that we are able to bless our labors. For God will bring those in our path of life. I just share this particular verse from 2 Peter. The final verse, chapter 3, verse 18. I mean, by this time, Peter is going knowing that he will die soon. I think Peter is probably similar age as me, 60-something. And that is the final verse. And in Peter, you see that Peter grabbed that idea very clearly. He called Jesus as Jesus Christ. Jesus as that suffering Christ, as that Christ that has risen, that Christ that has ascended to heaven, and also the Christ that has given his Spirit as the Holy Spirit in our heart. And this Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So here is that, but grow in a grace and knowledge. Not just about knowledge, but that grace. So you see that grow in the grace. It's not just a one time that we decided to be a follower of Jesus, but that grace that we are able to experience every day. Continue to experience, continue to love God with all our heart, and also love our labors, not choosing them. Not that I, who is my labors, but really discern what God has put in our path. I think for myself, when I see so many young people, I will want to share my story, because when I was at your age, I think one of the biggest important learning is I've gone through a very good discipleship group, just like a cell group when I was in my college. I didn't go to university. At that time, I went to Hong Kong Polytechnic and trained to become a medical laboratory scientist. And the student fellowship, they sent a good group leaders. Every week they come here to have a small group with us. So we have our Bible study, our prayer meeting. We call it discipleship training on the roof of the library. Wonderful place. And that's the time that I continue to grow, and from that, I really have the heart to discern, God, if your will is clear, I will follow you. So from this, I just quickly show you a story then. Some of you have heard that, but I just quickly recap that. Then you're able to see, when I was a teenager, I have that heart ready to, God, if your will is clear, I follow you. So I came here when I was 36. And I came here as a cancer immunologist, working in Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. And then God gave me opportunity to change from Western medicine to become herbal medicine. From herbal medicine, I've got opportunity to try out all different cultures, because my students bring the herbs and fruit useful for different medicine reasons for their culture for thousands of years. So Kakadu plum was an example from the outback in Australia. And then I came across about the indigenous people. Just like many of us, we are experts in different fields. We all have our profession. For young people, you're developing your profession. But that is where I came here when I was 36. Of course, I've never thought that I will be serving the First Nation people. But when I came at seeing this report, I think my heart was very finding it so surprising. What are we doing? How are we helping these indigenous people? In seven areas, they are so different to us, and the government is trying to halve the gap, make the gap smaller. But after 10 years of this child mortality, that means when the child born, they will die, and then early learning, and then whether they are going to have the year 12, whether they are going to have their job, and whether how long they will live. For example, our median death rate for our non-indigenous, for us, is 82. For them, is 60. How come it's still such a big difference right now? And then later on, I know more about that was because of their history being invaded. They were in here 60,000 years, but for the last 200-something years being invaded, and about stolen land, disease, killing, stolen wages, and stolen generations. I'm just seeing that these are people, the least of the brothers, this is my labor. And with that, during 2020, God called me. He said, Daniel, you do not just concern about their health and wealth, because at that time I'm helping them to do these herbal medicines into health products. It's not just about their health and wealth, but their whole being, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So I decided to quit my job in uni and going to prepare to learn, to prepare myself, and go to the Bible College at Morning College. So that I went to study for my fourth master. I had already 2 PhD and 3 masters. This will be my fourth master degree. And I also have to sell my house in Melbourne. But today I'm not going to tell you a lot of those stories, but I just let you know that when God, we discern who is our labor. Some of you, Holy Spirit may tell you earlier, not have to wait for me just like nearly 50-something years, 60 years old. At different stages, it's important that when we are in Christ, you will know that, and you have evidence from your brothers and sisters, from a church, that is where not everyone will go, but everyone can pray together. Everyone can give. So this ministry starts in 2022, July. Again, miracle, I finished my theological college, not 3 years, but I finished in 1 year. So from 2022, I get ready as a candidate. And then when I pray, I will start in July 2022, and I start to do the fundraising for 3-4 months. And amazing, how can I get here so quick? Because again, God has prepared 17 years ago. That there is a student 17 years ago has done one of my herbal medicine project, but later on he became a youth pastor in Anglican Church. So he helped me to bring my lead of the fundraising to Anglican, to Presbyterian, to Alliance Church. This afternoon I'm going to a Presbyterian church to share. From that onwards, that is where the ministry start. And with the Anglican Church going to the short-term mission, and you will see some of you here. Our youth, thank you. Thank you for some of you. You already have really discerned. When God calls you, you're able to step out from your comfort zone. At least you experience there. Talk to the indigenous people to see their need. And then in November as well, I think the importance of this is that many of our indigenous pastors, they have struggled. They have struggled in about the scripture. He said, who can understand the scripture? Because they can see that those people who invade us, they read the same Bible, but how come they come to invade our land and stole our children? So they find it difficult. Who can understand the Bible unless the Holy Spirit? So they do not have a very good reading, a systematic reading the Bible. But with all our visit, all these short-term missions, Pastor Nathan's were there to share with them how we grow up, how our young people grow up, how our those who just believe will read the Bible, will pray. Because there's a lot of the parts that we are able to easily understand from the Bible. There are great promises from the Bible that we are able to look at that, follow that, and then we are able to face the challenge every day. So the good thing is that after all these few shorter missions trips in December 2023, they start, the five families of the indigenous family start to have their first Bible study. First time 30 years. Very meaningful trips. You didn't see the trips. You probably see that you do some 5 minutes testimony, sing some songs. You didn't see the impact much later on. So from that onwards, discipleship training of these indigenous leaders, now God has moved them. They are able to be trained, and then they become trainers. And this not just happened in New South Wales, but in Queensland, in South Australia, Chinese churches, they are willing to really step up and willing to go to these regional towns to support the indigenous Christian leaders in there. The vision that God has given me is that by 2050, 25 years later, it's not too long for young people, you will see it. Right now, in New South Wales, probably there is very few, if none, healthy and multiplying indigenous church in New South Wales. But in 25 years, what God, when I pray, God has given me that vision, there will be at least 100 healthy and multiplying indigenous churches led by indigenous Christian leaders. Young people, you are able to see that. But what we need is that we need to pray for them. Even if we don't go, because you are not discerned, God asks you to leave your medical field, your teaching field, your nursing field, whatever field yet. But we are able to pray together. I read this prayer so that you're able to see what it is, because you can't see it very clearly. All Christian churches, pray for the Australian Aboriginals. See that one day a week. That means, for example, Sunday. Pray diligently week by week. Then after 25 years, healthy multiplying indigenous churches be seen. The former gospel field now transforms to a mission force. When I say mission field, to become a mission force is what an indigenous pastor says. He said, I don't want to be a mission field. We want to be a mission force. Let's help to pray for them. Let's run together on this heavenly journey. Christ will come again very soon. I just hope that I'm from your sister church, West Rye, CABC. I just hope that our church will be able to really fill up all the seat here. That means we're able to bring different labors. Some labors will be really physically just next to you. Maybe Indians, maybe they are from the Middle East, from all different countries. Maybe you love to play golf in your social clubs. There are the labors in there. Discern what Jesus has put in your heart as your labors. It's not we. It's not just about I. Right now, the culture is to tell you most important is I. That's not a biblical culture. is about Christ. It is about Jesus. That's why when the song leading team asked me to choose, one song came to me, The Cause of Christ. Because the words say, the only thing I want in life is to be known for loving Christ. Because that's what Jesus told the expert of the law. Go and do likewise. It's not just about to know, to hear once more the Good Samaritans. This is my 10 times, now it becomes 11 times I've heard this. But Jesus is saying, it's not just about knowing. It's about doing. It's about discerning. There must be a labor. It could be your classmate, it could be the one living around you. I don't know who that will be, but the Holy Spirit will tell you. So this church, I just pray that you are ready to pray together, have that compassion in your heart, and get ready to bring a salt and light to this community in Thorney, in Sydney, in Australia, and beyond. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful, wonderful Sunday. There's so many of your children, they worship you, saying praises to you. They have their heart turned to you, only focusing at you. May they all say that their only thing in their heart, the only thing that people will see them is that is loving you, Jesus. That they deny themselves, they willing to take up the cross, the difficulties, the challenges, and follow you to be your disciples, and then making many more as disciples of Jesus. Help us be that salt and light in this community. We are seeing that you have been blessing this church, CABC Thorney, for over 30 years. May you continue to help this church, these Anglican congregations to grow. Many are young people, and we are seeing them that they are being witnessed in their uni, at their work, in their families, and make them be witness as a life witness in every circle of influence that they are in. May the Holy Spirit in them speak clearly to them. May they grow in you, that they love your word, that they love to have that quiet time with you. May they have that great fellowship, that they love each other and they support each other in prayer. We thank you again for blessing this church. May you grow them and bless this church. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.